when Paul quotes the church in Corinth, when they said all things are lawful, he is not objecting to the sentiment. He doesn't say, no, all things are not lawful. He says, rather, all things are not beneficial. All things are not beneficial. All things may be permissible. All things may be lawful. All things may be permitted, but not everything is beneficial. Likewise, Paul says, while everything may be lawful, we're not to be dominated, controlled, mastered by anything or anyone but Jesus Christ our Lord. So the question we have before us today, and we have two questions, are these. What's beneficial? What's beneficial for the body of Christ? What's beneficial for this church? What's beneficial for you? And secondly, what is dominating us? And what is dominating you? What's beneficial? And what's dominating? What is for our good? And what are we stumbling over? Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. All things are permissible. All things are lawful. This claim of the church in Corinth is a claim of truth. Yes, all things are lawful. Yes, we are no longer under the curse of sin and death. We have been freed by Christ Jesus' death on the cross for us. We have been given liberty in Jesus. We have victory in Jesus over sin and death in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are freed from the curse of the law. We are freed to salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We are no longer subject to salvation by good works or by obedience to the law, but not everything that we can do should we do. Our freedom is not freedom to anarchy. Many things may harm us, harm others, or disturb the faith of others, or disturb our own faith. Not all things are beneficial. We have the freedom. We have the freedom to do, I'm going to be blunt, we have the freedom to do anything. But not all things are beneficial for us to do. Not all things, to quote the King James, are expedient for us to do. We can do all things, but it's not beneficial for us to do them. It is legal in some states in the Union, here in the United States, it is legal to travel whatever velocity you want. Did you know that? There are a few states in the United States where there are no, on the interstates, out away from cities, there are no speed limits. And if your car can go 95 miles an hour and you can control it at 95 miles an hour, it is legal for you to do that. But you know what? It may not be beneficial for everybody to go that fast. The car might fall apart. I've driven a few cars that you get above 65, it falls apart. My 63 Chevy Impala, I'm going to tell you, that thing was a tank. It had metal frame and sides. If I were to get in an accident in that thing, I might be dead. The other car would be demolished. My car would still run. big old V8, all those cars. You just touch the gas and whoom. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That car was old. Had over 200,000 miles on it. Now I'm driving this thing, this beautiful baby, and I start to approach 55 miles per hour, which was the speed limit at that time here in Texas, and the car would start to rattle. And if I got her and approached and went over the speed limit, it was a nightmare. And I'd get out of the car and I'd be just like this, shaken to pieces. It was not beneficial for me to go 55, even though it was lawful. I'll never forget when they upped the speed limit to 70. Yeah, we thought. We can now get from Wichita Falls to Dallas in 2.5 hours instead of 3. Yeah. You get out on the road and you start going 70 miles per hour. And then you feel the faulty alignment in your wheels. And the car starts to shake to pieces. It may be possible for my Mercury Grand Marquis with its V8 and fuel injection system to go 95 miles per hour. Not legal, but possible. But it would not be expedient or beneficial for me. I'd get a ticket, and it'd probably burn out that engine awful quickly. It is possible, it is permissible for us to do, it is lawful for us to do anything. Paul did not say, you're wrong. What he did say was, it's not beneficial to do everything. Some things are simply not beneficial, not helpful for the life and the future of the church, for the life and the future of the faith of others, for your life, your future, and your faith. That's what Paul was saying. All things are permissible. All things are lawful. But not all things are beneficial. Not everything. Some things are contrary to being beneficial. It is lawful and permissible for me to go to El Phoenix and have 2 orders of the Jalisco dinner. Double the enchiladas, double the cheese tacos, double the order of rice, double the taco. It is permissible. It is lawful. And it's not expedient. Not for this. It may taste wonderful. But when I'm done, I'm going to be very angry at myself. And very bloated too. It may be lawful, but it is not beneficial for me to have 3 slices of my mother's pound cake. That adds a pound per slice. That's why they call it pound cake. It may be lawful, but it is not beneficial to me. It's not helpful to me. It may be helpful to my taste buds, but it's not helpful to my waistline. Likewise, all things may be lawful, but not all things are helpful, expedient, beneficial to the life of the church and to a Christian life walking with Jesus. Salvation is not by works of the law. Salvation is not by obeying the Ten Commandments, as helpful and wonderful as the Ten Commandments are to serve as a guide for understanding how we are walking with Christ and whether or not our walk with Christ is true. Salvation is not by obeying them. We should obey them, kids, adults, but they don't save us. Salvation comes by God's grace poured out to us on the cross of Jesus Christ through faith in Him. When we respond to the offered gift of salvation, when we say yes to His grace and receive it through the very many, many means that we talked about last week, when we say yes to the grace and receive it and act upon it by faith, God saves us. We don't earn it. We can't earn it by obedience. We can't earn it by obeying any of the law. God gives it to us freely. Therefore, All things may be permissible, Jim, but not all things are beneficial. All things may be lawful because salvation comes by grace through faith, but not all things are helpful to walking in faith. Not all things are helpful to living in God's grace. Not all things are helpful for the faith of others. There is the stumbling block principle in the church, friends, which says that although all things may be lawful for you, if someone else is troubled by an activity or a thing that you do, it becomes a sin for you to do it because it might cause them to stumble. It may be lawful for you otherwise, but if they are disturbed by it, it becomes a sin for you. That's the stumbling block principle. So while it's lawful, it's not beneficial. And because it's not beneficial, it becomes a sin for us. That speaks to our behavior every day, friends. Was driving on 635, that's not beneficial for me. All right. It may help me to get to where I'm going quicker, but it's not beneficial to my blood pressure. It's not beneficial to my teeth, because I do much gnashing of teeth when I'm on 635. It's not beneficial to my lungs. It's not beneficial. Because I'll get out on that road, and like the rest of us, when someone does something stupid, I do too. And that's not beneficial for me personally. It's not beneficial for me in terms of my knees, because I need to be on them asking for forgiveness for what I said. And it's not beneficial because as a Christian witness, we are called to be patient and to express the grace and love of God to others. And that's so very hard to do on an interstate, especially 635. All things may be lawful, but not all things are beneficial. What's beneficial to us? What is beneficial for us? What's beneficial is that which builds up our own faith, that which allows us to connect with God's grace, that which helps us to see and understand and remember those things which Christ would have us do and believe in order to be members of the body of Christ. Those things that are beneficial are those things which build up the body of Christ. So those things that are beneficial are those things that build up the body of Christ and build up our own faith, which in turn builds the body of Christ. A positive Christian witness builds the body of Christ. They're not going to be interested in what you say if your words don't match your deeds. If your creed doesn't match your deed, you can forget about evangelism. You can forget about missions. If your word and your message about grace and peace and acceptance and forgiveness and victory in Jesus, if your word does not match your deed, treating others as the sinners forgiven by God's grace and just as much forgiven as us when they say yes to God's grace, if your words don't match your deeds, you can forget about evangelism. They don't care how much you know, they used to teach us in seminary. They don't care how much you know, Greg, until they know how much you care. They won't care how much you know about the Bible, Greg, until they know how much you care about them. Until the shepherd communicates and lives with and loves the sheep aren't going to want to be around the shepherd. That's something that all of us have to hear. Because while this is a congregation, and I have been appointed. Each of us has a role, shepherd of our fellow sheep. We're called to be beneficial to each other and to help each other in building up the body of Christ. So what's beneficial for you? What do you need? What is beneficial for you, and what do you need to build up your own faith and the faith and life of this body, this church? I want you to think about that this coming week. Take a piece of paper and write up, what do I need? What would be beneficial for me? And in prayer, begin to write what you believe you need and what is beneficial for you. It's a good exercise. That's the first question. What's beneficial and what is not? Second question. And this is the one that's a little tougher. What dominates our living? What dominates our living? What gets in the way of our following Christ? What serves as a stumbling block for us? What takes control of our lives? Well, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that in one respect, it's the desire to get our own way all the time. It's the belief that we are always correct and never wrong. It's the belief that the other person's opinion is unimportant or of a lesser importance than my opinion. That's one thing that dominates me. What dominates you? What behaviors and attitudes, what sinful desires dominate your life? One thing that dominates me is Mexican food. We indulged in that Friday night. I tried to control it, and I managed to some degree. Not by my own doing, by the way. What dominates you? What damages you? What controls you? Does not come from the freedom of Christ, but as a temptation from Satan. We may be free to do everything. It may be lawful to eat those enchiladas, but those enchiladas end up dominating me, Jim. Those enchiladas end up dominating me. I want them in vast quantities. What dominates your life? Is it the internet? Is it television? Those soap operas midday? Never understood what was dominating about those, but some people are dominated by them. Is it video games? Sitting there zoning out until 2 o'clock in the morning on video games? Is it music that doesn't edify and build up your faith? Is it literature that you should not be reading? Whatever it may be that dominates your life, that is there hidden from view and yet dominating you, it is not beneficial. It serves as a stumbling block to following God's grace, allowing His grace to live in you by faith, and following Him. We have one Lord and one Master, Jesus Christ, not multiple lords and multiple masters. Is your dominating influence and king and lord money and its acquisition? Or is your money, is your dominating factor and lord the desire to hoard what little you've got for fear of losing it? What is your lord? What is your dominator? What dominates your life and masters you? What is your lord? Is it Lord Dollar? Lord Sex? Lord TV? Lord Music? Lord individualism, Lord country, even Lord church institution? Or is it the Lord Jesus? What dominates your life? We are freed by God's grace to live in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and celebrate His victory. And if we have victory in Jesus, and we do, my friends, then we have victory over all those alternative lords that would try to usurp His position in our life. When you find in your life a Lord that is seeking to dominate you, a desire, an interest that is seeking to usurp the supremacy of Christ in your life, turn back to the wonderful grace of Jesus and set that dominator before the Lord. And in Jesus, you will have victory over Him, over it, over them. My brothers and sisters in Christ, all things may be lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things may be permissible, but we must not be dominated by anything. We are the body of Christ. And that which enslaves us or dominates us, and that which is not beneficial to us, harms this one body that we have together. Whatever harms Marshall harms Weldon. All right? Whatever harms Johnny harms Jim. Whatever harms Jean harms Zelma. And when one of us stumbles and allows the dominator, whatever it may be, to enter our lives, we harm our brother and sister. It's not just our own stumbling. It's not just our own sin. It's not just our own failing. It harms the other members of this body, this church, and all the churches. Think with me for a moment about the horrible damage that is being done in the Roman Catholic Church by some priests who can't control themselves. Now, I ran the figures one day. I got curious. What percentage of all the priests in the United States are accused of and or guilty of pedophilia or other sexual sins? I ran the math to find out. Less than 1%. In fact, it's about 1/3 of 1% of all Catholic priests have been so accused and or guilty. That means that 1/3 of 1% have caused this horrible disaster amongst the Roman Catholic brothers and sisters that we have. That hits me close because my nephew is a Roman Catholic. He's going through confirmation right now to be confirmed a Roman Catholic. I participated in his baptism as a Roman Catholic. It was a great honor for me. But it impacts him directly. It harms their church and it harms ours too because of the fear of the unknown. The sins of one can impact and harm the whole body, because we are one body and we are one with Christ in one spirit. And when one is hurting the body, others will suffer. The flip side is also true. The victory of one is a victory for all. Peggy, your victory over the evil demon of cancer, and we claim victory, is a victory for my mother over the evil demon of cancer. Jason's victory, continuing victory, and future victory over his condition is a victory for you and me, for all of us, over the evils of illness and sickness and death that challenge us day by day. The victory of one over the sins that dominate us, the victory of one over the sins that dominate them is a victory for all of us. Together, as one body, we have victory in Jesus. Together as one body in Christ, as one spirit together, we have the victory. Whatever harms one, harms us all. And when one has victory, my friends, we all do. Give glory and thanks to God for the grace and the victory that we have when we step out in faith and step around the stumbling blocks of this life and step around the dominators of this life and step into the path that Jesus has for us. When we step out in faith, we have victory. Give thanks to God for the victory we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the people of God say, Amen.